The Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Cindy Lee of TripCraftPonder.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Breeders and Root Workers, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Berkeley, California. Together, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about lust, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual voodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Nice to hear your voice, Miss Tammy Lee. And
thank
wonderful
you.
to have a nice sunny day here in California.
Great.
Well, we've got a lot of news to get out first before we get to the rest of our show. But before we get to that, I do want to say welcome to our guest, Kai Armand. It's so wonderful to have you back.
Welcome.
And,
thank you so much for having me.
Well, we love having you on the show. And a howdy hi to my wonderful co-host, Conjurman Ali. Hi, honey.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. Okay, I gotta get a few things out of the way here because we got a lot going on, and I just wanted to let people know what's up. The Missionary Independent Spiritual Churches workshops, which we had told everybody, hey, tickets are going on sale in January. They are going on sale today. Dr. E, who's a regular guest on the show, as some of y'all know, has had the most wonderful fortune to find a home for his partner and him, and they have moved. But this set him back because he was the guy who was doing the page coding to get the tickets set up through Eventbrite. And people have been hammering on my Facebook messages and on my email and in the forum, why can't we get the tickets? It's already January 20th. Well, he and Clayton have moved into their new house. Yay! And today he called me early in the morning and said he was going to be working on getting that ticket page set up. So I haven't even gone to it to see if it's set up. Someone tell me, is it working?
It is. It looks like it's working.
Yay, he did it. He said, Dr. E, such a faithful, wonderful guy. He said, I'm going to have that thing running by the time the radio show starts. So he did. So now is the time, folks. If you are planning to come to the workshops in May, the tickets are on sale. Now, the way this works this year is a little different than last year. If you purchase a ticket, your fee for Eventbrite, which handles the tickets, is added extra. Last year, the presenters absorbed those fees and didn't know that they all had done so. So we set it up in a more conventional way. What Dr. E said is most places when you go, the fees are charged on top of the price of admission, so you know what the fees are. So that's what's going to happen there, and don't be surprised because you will have a ticket handling fee just like you would if you were going to a concert. It's very minimal, but there it is. And you will pay through PayPal. And you can sign up for these workshops, and we have a great lineup, folks. Just go to the webpage, mm-hmm. which is missionaryindependent.org/workshops workshops.html, or go to luckymojo.com, scroll down till you see the word workshops, click on that, it'll take you there. Go to the forum, there's a section on the workshops, that link is there. And if you workshops.html will work, so will workshop2013.html, because every year we do a new workshop. So just go there, and you'll see that you don't have to sign up for every workshop. There's about six of them per day. One of them, the Labyrinth Walk, is free, and it's just on a donation basis. One of them is a colloquium, the Queer Conjure one. And that one, the money collected does not go to the presenters. It goes to the church, and that money then the church spends on some charitable effort. Last year we did it for a friend in need, and we'll do it again for something we need to do. So there's Kai is going to be there, Ali is going to be there, Dr. E, Deacon Millett, I'm going to be teaching, Michelle Jackson, Elvira Love, and we also have Miss Michael is going to be there, Madam Nadia, and there's really going to be almost half of the membership of AIR is going to show up this year. So if you ever wanted to meet a member of AIR, you can kill two birds with one stone by coming out to the workshops and meeting the members of AIR. And I know I've left out about six of them, but you know, please forgive me. And so that's going to be more heavily promoted now that it's January, and that is in May. Now, along with that, we have the apprenticeship program. If you're a graduate of my correspondence course, you can come the week before the workshops, in other words, the 5 days leading up to the workshops, and you will be able to take my free apprenticeship. And all the details of that are on luckymojo.com/, I think it's apprenticeship.html. And it's also linked from the forum, and it's linked from your newsletters. If you get the Lucky Mojo newsletter, it tells you all every month how to get to that apprenticeship thing, and we also talk about it. We also have upcoming another apprenticeship, and that one's in February. And this one, anyone can come who's a graduate. This is for the employees of the shop. All the employees of Lucky Mojo have to take my course and go through the apprenticeship. And so it is the week three apprenticeship, which also happens to be the one we're doing in May, which is a little redundant, but that's life. Also, probably, I'm hoping, in March, we will do the week one apprenticeship, which is the herbs apprenticeship, so that you could get, if you were local or near to us in California, you could get week one and week three somehow during this the next few months. Week two, you'd have to wait a while. All righty, so that's just for all those people who are real connected and want to learn hands-on training. And and so the newsletter, and this is an apology to the Lucky Mojo newsletter, which usually advertises all this stuff about the apprenticeships and all on behalf of the church. It just sends this information out. It's late this month because we didn't want to put out the newsletter until we had Dr. E's ticket thing set up. So the newsletter will go out in the next 24, 48 hours, I hope. Okay. End of messages. did I convey everything? I hope I did. All right.
Some very
now,
exciting developments, yeah.
Yeah. So now, we are going to be talking about some topic that's dear and near to our heart. And as always, our guest from AIR, and this time it's Kai Armand, has a topic that he brings with him. And his topic is initiation, and the role of initiatic experiences and initiation in hoodoo. And this is an important topic. And I was a little, when Kai brought it up, I went, oh no, because this is deep, really deep. Because many people equate hoodoo with African diasporic religions, which are one, they're all initiatic. Now, people don't think of a religion like Christianity as being initiatic, but some Christian denominations are. In other words, if you want to join the Baptist church, you're going to get baptized. That is an initiation. If you want to join the Catholic church, you're going to take First Communion. right?
Mm-hmm.
And get baptized besides. So there are different initiations that people, it's like fish swimming in the ocean. They don't see the water. They go, well, they have initiations. We don't. We just have church. Many churches do. Now, there are churches that do not require baptism in water, and they may have be open type, you know, non-denominational Christian churches. So we're not talking about that every church that's Christian has an initiation, but think about it and think on it. You'll see that most of them do. Now, there are also what are called sanctified churches, and they usually require what's sometimes called initiation by the Holy Ghost, or, excuse me, not initiation, baptism by fire, baptism by the Holy Ghost, and that is a second initiation. So they might have baptism in water, or what's sometimes called re-resurrection or re-baptism by the Holy Ghost. And you'll see some of these churches are pretty strong about that, that just if you were a Baptist, that's not enough. Because he's got better things for you, more than your friends can do. He's got the Holy Ghost and the fire. So those Pentecostal and holiness churches do require that. And that also is an initiatory experience. But it's not an experience that you train for in the sense
correct.
That you might wear white for a year or something like that. It's something that falls on you. Spirit falls on you. All right. Having said all that, and understanding that hoodoo is primarily the folk magic of Americans, not Africans, let's bring Kai in with what he was going to say. But I wanted to get that sort of squared away, that we do have initiations, but we don't call them initiations necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we call it the spirit falling on you or something like that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Kai.
Well,
Kai,
I love that you bring that up because, you know, I grew up in, you know, my earliest years were spent in an apostolic church in which, you know, the Holy Spirit falling on you was what got you to heaven. And it was
mm-hmm.
a very intense experience, you know, in which the main practice was called tarrying, saying the name of Jesus over and over again.
Tarrying.
Until it, yeah, tarrying, in which it drove you into a trance state. I mean, they wouldn't use the word trance, but that's, you know, what was happening. And the organ would go in a certain way that really pumped up your spirit. And from speaking the name of Jesus over and over again, you would enter into speaking in tongues. And then, you know, it would be a combination of you knowing and the people around you knowing that you had just gotten saved. And it was often a long, all-night, very sweaty experience. I remember being a very young boy sitting in a pew waiting for family members to come out of the tarrying room, you know, at 3
mm-hmm.
or 4 a.m., and, you know, they would leave and they would, you know, the next morning their life would be different and they know that they have to wear different clothes. They know they have to start walking in the right way, making sure that they wouldn't backslide. So, and I love that you bring that into the conversation because that's something very, you know, personal and almost, you know, kind of nostalgic for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm gonna just say something about tarrying because it's something, too, that I also found in many, many Pentecostal churches, both white and black. And this does come out of the New Testament, you know, definition. And this is an interesting idea because we were taught also in some of the churches that I went that people would tarry to pray for someone. In other words, if someone needed help, we would tarry, you know, but it's also called tarrying for the Holy Ghost. I mean, you tarry for the Spirit to come. It means waiting, delaying, waiting, tarrying. It's just an old word. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Mm-hmm. The reason why I brought up this topic was because my own apprentice has found herself in a very unique life experience that I the moment she mentioned it to me and the moment we were discussing it, and I really watched her walk down this road, it became very obvious to me that she was going through what I, you know, would call a sort of spirit-led or spirit-induced initiation. Not a one-off experience of some, you know, great sort of trance state. However, an experience in which spirit is calling her to be humbled and wait and really see God work in her life. And it's trying. It's trying. It's a really trying time. And, as I'm watching her go through it, I am you know, recalling my own experiences of hardship in my own life, not just hardships of, oh, I don't have enough money, or, oh, a relationship is going wrong, but those moments where everything really came down to almost a paradoxical solution that had I not really completely surrendered, I wouldn't have gotten through. I wouldn't have gotten to the other side. So as I'm watching her go through this, it's making me think about the initiations that I have been through, both spirit-led and those that have been, you know, into a particular tradition. I am, you know, initiated in the Unnamed Path shamanic tradition. And that, you know, as well, of course, was me inviting certain calamity into my life in order to be humbled and ready for that spirit to enter me. But there are, of course, those initiations that simply call us to kneel and pray and wait and really watch for signs. Because at the end of that, when we get through that experience, we're going to be available for others in a way that we wouldn't have been able to before. That's exactly what my apprentice is speaking, you know, experiencing right now. There are, of course, other initiatory experiences, especially as very specific to hoodoo. I mentioned to Conjurman Ali the experience of going down to the crossroads and asking for that teacher spirit to accompany you. That is also, I would consider, kind of an initiatory experience. You're asking to enter the portal and make it to the other side with new medicine, with new tools to use.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. And then this is something, it's very interesting because you don't hear this very often nowadays, but these type of experiences, initiatory, and sometimes they were not called, and I would say actually more often than not, they were not called initiations, except by some anthropologists. I mean, we do have some mention with Zora Neale Hurston of some type of hoodoo initiations, but the reality is that they may not be called initiations, but they do act as a first spiritual step. It is that anointing of spirit, and you find it very commonly in rural areas today still, where a root doctor is anointed by spirit, right? And they're talking about he or she has gone through some type of life experience, some type of magical experience, some type of spiritual experiences that make them unique for the work, whether that is specifically going down to the crossroads and making that pact or that deal in order to be a two-headed doctor, whether that is a spirit-led form of initiatory experience where spirit kind of falls on you or anoints you or guides you onto the path, but they do form a very important part of hoodoo and really reveal its roots, because we see a combination of different traditions that are kind of coming together. You have Native American initiatory experiences with the pact-making, you know, diabolical traditions of Europe, in addition to the Protestant Christianity of baptism and anointing, along with the African initiatory traditions. They kind of merge together in a uniquely American, uniquely African-American perspective. And you do find that in hoodoo.
Mm-hmm. I just want to get onto the vocal part of this because we are discussing it in the chat room. See Luke 24, verse 49. That is the place where the idea of tarrying and the tarrying service comes from. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. To be endued with power means to be just completely given that power. So this is where you're calling down the spirit, and it says tarry in Jerusalem, Jerusalem being taken metaphorically for church. Okay, so that's it. That's why they have a tarrying service. All right. Well, you know, another one of the things that people talk about, and this is very important in any kind of diasporic tradition, the more a tradition gets away from the simple tribal roots that it had, and the more broken up the families are and the more dispersed the people are, whether for because they wanted to or because they had to, there are ways of retaining links to that tradition which are sometimes called self-initiatic. And there are, you know, we'll find this in all the diasporic traditions, not just African Jewish diasporic, and even among people who are Christians, who are broken apart from the Christian community, will have an experience of what we might call self-initiation. And there is a long tradition in, especially in folk magic, of receiving a vision. and then becoming a shaman, a worker, a spiritual practitioner. And if any of y'all, you know, follow the history of, you know, worldwide traditions of shamanism, sometimes this comes as a result of an illness. It may come as a result of need. There may be a dream. There may be the death of an ancestor or ancestress, or that person may have been dead for a while but suddenly return in a series of dreams and present knowledge and power. So these are also initiations, but they would be classified more as self-initiations. So it wouldn't be the same as like traveling to an ashram in India and having, you know, some dude sitting on a pile of oranges give you a pat on the head and say, okay, now, you know, you've received whatever. Or it wouldn't be like studying in a lodge and learning to recite certain phrases and rituals and rites. It really would, it comes from within. That also is the problem with hoodoo, and I'm going to be real frank here. When someone proclaims themselves self-initiated, you have only their word as their bond that it happened at all, and or that they have truly received gifts of spirits. And this is why, as a person from the Judeo-Christian tradition, I was always taught, test the spirits that they be of God. Right? Because we have had examples among us and all the world of people who claim that they are either self-initiated or that they received an initiation from a duly lineaged person, and it ain't so. It's not the case.
Correct. That's
and
correct.
So in any self-initiatic tradition like hoodoo, this is most important: by their fruits ye shall know them. Or what they say, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. So this is something that I'm always very cautious about talking about, because someone can tell me, well, they woke up this morning and they had a vision and here they are and they're ready to rock, you know. And, well, I'm just the greatest root worker since, you know, Dr. Buzzard himself. And, well, just test the spirits. That's all I'm saying.
That's very true. And because it is such a personal and intense experience, you know, personal can often mean subjective as well. So testing the spirit is so important in that point, because anyone can claim it without, you know, it's not like a certificate you get. Hey, this is so and so, the two-headed doctor. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not like a little, you know, you're not getting an Oscar. There's no way of verifying it. It's an experience, right? They can wake up and say, I've had this vision, or I had an out-of-body experience, or I had a near-death experience, and that brought me to this work. And so the best way to do it is to test the spirit. That's true.
Right. Well, then that brings us to another thing, and I'm going to be real personal right here. Because I teach a course in root work, and because I give people a certificate at the end of it saying that they completed the course, I have been both praised and seen as an initiator, and hated and said that I have falsely assumed initiatory powers when all I'm doing is teaching a course. And I need to make this real clear, you know, just for the future. I teach a course. I do not claim to initiate people. I am teaching material of knowledge. Now, there are people who say, well, I don't need no course because I got self-initiated. Well, that may be, but they may be outliers to the tradition.
Right.
And there are many people who are outliers to the tradition who just say, well, I know all this. I don't need a course in this. But if you think about it, in the real world of root work, you usually got both. And it's true in the same world of any initiatic religion, such as, for instance, Santeria Lukumi or Palo or Kimbanda. You're not just getting an initiation. You're also getting training.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. So I provide training, and there are others too, but in my course, I never claim to initiate. I claim to train. I like to work with people who can you know, receive spirit. In other words, I don't like to teach people who are academic and like, I just want to take the course and just learn what this thing is.
Yeah,
that's not
just
what I'm trying, you know. It's just dry people. But I do want to see also that people understand that this is a community practice with, you know, kind of a community feel to it. And there is a, what we might call, I mean, I hate to go all anthropological, but there's what's called normative behavior.
Woman after my own heart.
Well, I'm sorry, you know, but there is normative behavior. So if someone comes up to you and says, hey, I've been initiated in hoodoo, and I know now that the truth is that caraway seeds are the thing that you need to have to see God. And you can just look at them and just go, what?
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying they're right. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying that's not normative behavior. That's
mm-hmm.
all I can do as a teacher.
Right.
And
well, you know, it's interesting, and I want to add on that, and this is a lot of people don't realize this. People who claim the initiations don't realize that these two, the actual training and learning, the technical knowledge, if you will, along with the spiritual experience behind it, go hand in hand. A person in tribal society, let's say, is apprenticed to an individual, goes through the experience and learns. So you can claim being spiritually anointed, but if you don't have the know-how, the roots, then, you know, it's having the gift but not the knowledge. A true success comes from, you know, knowledge, giftedness, combined. So I do think that, and it's interesting from a historical perspective, these type of ideas where people actually went and trained in hoodoo did exist, and we have very strong evidence of people going and learning hoodoo and taking, you know, even mail through the mail, learning hoodoo from root workers. So this is a long standing in the hoodoo tradition of learning the knowledge aspect of it in addition to initiation. So the two definitely go hand in hand together. Graduating your course, for example, while also having a spiritual experience is something that can be considered, you know, a very strong sign of someone who's going to go into root work.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I have to add to that, you know, even though finishing the course might not be an initiation, you might not be offering an initiatory experience, Kat, there's something about finishing the course. And that to me, it's a little too close. It's a little too close for some people. I have very close friends whom I love dearly who are wonderful root workers, wonderful magicians and geomancers and tarot readers, and here we are 3 years later, and they're saying, you know, I just got that oil to send, and I think I'm going to do it in March, and I'm like, Why the resistance? You know, you just have that oil to send. What's going on, dude? You know, and it's to me it would be a completion for them. It would be something for them that would shift things energetically.
Hey Kai, they're tarrying, man.
Tarrying, exactly. Yeah.
They're tarrying until their oil is imbued with the power of the spirit. Okay. I got a bunch of those terriers, man. I got a lot of terriers, I'm telling you.
Rite of passage. Pastor said rite of passage. I think that is a perfect word. You know, we're playing, you know, we're working with initiation and self-initiation and anointing,
yeah.
And I think the word rite of passage is a beautiful way of putting that. Thank you, Cast.
Professor Ames in the chat talks about what about being anointed as part of this, and that's a very, very good question, because it actually brings up several different things. One, a religious component. A lot of people in Hoodoo communities are Protestant Christian, and that's something that, you know, people are sometimes forgetting, but that's the reality of it. It was not uncommon to have a root worker ask you, are you saved? Or have you been baptized? You know, these were part of it. And similarly, good root doctors versus evil root doctors. The good root doctor worked usually hand in hand with the church, right?
That's right, and still does.
I wouldn't cast
that into the past tense, baby.
No, still does.
I'd
absolutely
cast that in the present tense.
Right.
Not every root doctor has a church, but
right.
Most people who do, and most people who read for people, if they don't have a church, they at least know how to hook you up with one. But
right.
Most of them do, and I'll tell you why. People need church. I'm saying, you know, you get some call from some lady in Georgia and she's in trouble, you can't fly out to Georgia and take her by the hand and get her through that thing. She needs church. And root workers historically know that. I mean, that's why many, many, most root workers that I have known in my life have some church. And I don't mean necessarily Christian church, Baptist church, Pentecostal church. Some of them may be, you know, Kemetic Orthodox or, you know, whatever.
Yes.
But they have church, and they know that's important for people.
That's very true.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's so much to this. I want to say one other thing, too, and this is just me talking, you know, just from my heart. You don't need to run hither and yon, to seek initiation upon initiation. If God wants you, he'll find you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
That's true. That's very, very true. And then the final thing that I just wanted to add about anointing, that, you know, there's the literal aspect of anointing, you know, with oil, and then there's also being anointed by Spirit, and that's sometimes just recognizable. So-and-so has been anointed by Spirit, and they're called for that type of work. Then there is being anointed by your teacher. This does happen in hoodoo communities. This is something that's
mm-hmm.
happened to me, where you're anointed by your teacher, meaning that you become their successor. I got into the root work when my teacher passed away. I took on her practice. So that
mm-hmm.
happens in the hoodoo communities, and these are all different aspects of being anointed for the work, being anointed by being connected to a church, by going through a sort of rite of baptism, anointed with physical, you know, oil, being anointed by Spirit, you know, called to the work, it's recognizable, or anointed as a successor to
mm-hmm.
your teacher or mentor.
Mm-hmm. And some of them may train more than one
successor.
And I'm going to say one other thing, too, because, again, this came up in the chat. Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, someone just mentioned about us doing performing baptisms. Yes, we do baptize people in our church.
River baptisms
in the Russian River. Anybody who wants one, all you got to do is show up and ask, and let's hope it's a warm day, okay, folks? Just saying. Don't feel like going out today and baptizing anyone, but I'll do it if they needed it.
And what a beautiful place to do baptisms, too, Russian River. That's
yeah.
beautiful.
Down by Steelhead Beach. All right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but thank you very much, Kai, for bringing this up, because this is one of those topics. We could talk about this for 4 or 5 hours and bring in a lot of other members of AIR and other people who have opinions on this. And we may continue this discussion a little bit down the road. I will say that people have asked me to bless their work, and I will,
yes.
if I feel they need what I have to offer, I will give them
a blessing.
And that's tied into
a church again, because you're Reverend Kat.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's again.
Well,
that
but I'm not even saying, I'm talking about, like, for instance, to bless their work for them to succeed. People have asked me, for instance, they may buy a bone set from me, and they say, could you bless my bones for me? So that when I work with these, they'll have a little of your energy, whatever. And this, I equate this to the old Hindu thing called Shaktipat, which is where a guru will touch something or touch you and convey some of their spiritual energy to it. And I have no hesitation. If somebody wants me to do that for them, I'll do it. I don't shy back. Now, I don't consider that part of that course that I teach. But if someone was to ask me and say, could you handle my stuff, or can you, you know, give me your blessing on my work, I will do it. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't have any qualms about that as a teacher, but that is not what the course is about. Okay.
Right.
All right. Somebody asked, how does one request a blessing from Ms. Kat? Well, you can either send me something you want blessed, but if you show up and you know, give me some warning, so at least I got a good dress on, you know, some shoes and. I mean, you know, I don't want to come down all sloppy and bless you. I want to look nice. And give me some warnings. I'm going to be here on such and such a day, and I'd like to have a bless. when you live life out here.
Skyclad blessings.
I'm not exactly skyclad, but, you know, some days I might just have my old work apron on, you know. I want to give you my best. So, all right. I mean, people do show up. You'd be surprised. I had a man come all the way from Singapore. He was in the shop. I was in my work apron and my hair tied back with a tousled bandana. And this guy comes in, and he goes down on his knees in front of me. and lifts up his little hands and looks at me with his big brown eyes. And he's some guy from Singapore. I'd never seen him before in my life. And he goes, "Miss Camp, bless me." And I'm like, "Oh, my word. I've got to shift gears here." I was like shelving oils, right? And I've got a tray full of oils. And there's this guy going, "Miss Camp, bless me." And I'm like, "Okay. All right, let me put down these oils first." You know, so just like I said, that's why I ask now. Give me 5 minutes warning here. I get my hands together. Okay. I know that sounds funny, but people just think they can just walk in on my life and have the best of me. And sometimes it's better to give me a warning.
Just
well,
a
we've overstayed our talk here, but this was great. And Kai, you are so wise to have brought this up. There was a lot. There's a lot
very
there.
Deep.
Yes,
yeah,
it is deep.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned, Kai, and before we let it go, you mentioned that you, too, are part of some initiatic traditions, including the Unnamed Path.
Yes.
And you too, also take on students and teach them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right. So if anyone wants training under Kai Armand, go to him. And Contraman Ali, you take on students, right?
I do. I take on apprentices.
Good. All right. So we got three people here, all willing to take on apprentices and take on students, and I'm sure if you studied with all three of us, you'd learn three different things. Okay, all right. Well, all right. Let's go to our callers and see what we can do in the way of readings and root work, and so let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat. And a reminder to everyone to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. And this week's special guest, Kai Armand, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phone to take our first client, and our first client is calling in from area code 336 from North Carolina. This is Ms. C. Ms. C, are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi, great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to let our host know that you are a first-time caller into the radio show and also that you have not had any readings or root work done by a member of AIR, okay? And she writes, I feel the man in my life is my soulmate. He got upset because of something I said, which was about courtship and sex, and he said he was done, and we haven't talked or seen each other in about 3 weeks. We would have been together 1 year this February the 18th. Turning it back over to you.
All right, Miss C. Welcome to the radio show, and thanks for calling us. Now, I'm going to ask a couple of questions here. What sign of the zodiac are you?
Aquarius.
All righty. And what sign is this man?
Capricorn.
Capricorns can be stubborn people.
Mm-hmm.
Aquarians can be stubborn people. And you were together almost a year, 10 months. How old are you, sweetheart?
I'm 48.
48. So this is not no new little spring romance. You're not a little teenage girl.
No.
All right. So may I assume, and I don't wish to make an assumption, but may I get an affirmation here, that y'all have been intimate with each other, not just dating?
Correct.
All right. So now let me see what your question is, because none of this ended with a question mark. So is your question mark, is he coming back or can you get him back? Or is your question not so much about a reading, but about what should I do to get him back? Phrase your question.
Is he going to come back?
Is he going to come back? All right, that's it. All righty. Well, I'm going to do a three-card cut, what they'll call the old three-card cut, which is pull three cards out of the deck. First card I have is an unfortunate card, and that card is the Nine of Wands, and that shows a man who's leaning on a wooden staff, and behind him are eight more staffs, and he's got a bandage around his head, and he's looking over his shoulder, scared, like he thinks he's going to be attacked. This man, does that describe the man pretty well?
Well, we have we're not supposed to be together unless we go into courtship, and we've already messed up with having sex, but don't nobody know that we did. But it's a problem for him, and it was a problem for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one here shows that he thinks people are watching him. He thinks there's something. This card shows him to be worried, indeed, and it's a card that says that he's got a kind of a he's looking over his shoulder. Let's just say it at that. Okay. Next card I have is a card that is a good card, and it's called the Ace of Cups, and this shows a. That indeed the two of you are very good together. The Ace of Cups shows the hand of God coming out of a cloud, holding a golden goblet from which water fountains out in like you know streams of living water, and a dove comes down into the cup. And it can be a card of tranquility and blessings and peace. The water flows down into a pond with the little water lilies, which stand for tranquility. And this card refers to the 23rd Psalm. With the line, "My cup runneth over." So this says that indeed there is some really good reason to think that if you pray hard on this, you may get him to be back, because there was something very, very right about the relationship. The third card is the card of the future, and I wish I could say it's like 100% positive, but it's not. It is a card called the Knight of Cups, and this shows a man who has come across the desert a long ways on a horse, and he's holding a golden goblet, but by now the cup has dried up. In other words, his love is diminishing, and because the cup stands for hearts and the heart stands for love. And he's come to a little stream of water, and he can water his horse and refresh himself. You got to stay in contact with him and try to rebuild through gentle love. Across the stream, there is a cliff, and on top of the cliff, there's a tree. And we always say that's the ultimate goal. That tree stands for stability, for marriage. But then if the man can't make it up that cliff because the horse won't go up the cliff. So he can water his horse. He can kind of try to get back on track. But he has to go downstream where there's a little grove of about a dozen trees. And this stands for community. It stands for people who are your friends, people who will help you. Do you have any way of communicating with him through your friends, or has he cut you off completely?
Well, he's not answering my calls. He's not answering my texts. And I don't know who else to go to get to him.
Does he live in your town?
Yes.
Do you see each other, like, on the job, in church somehow?
Yeah, I will see him at the mosque, yeah.
At the mosque, okay. All
yeah,
right.
But
well,
I haven't been because I really was scared to see him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, sweetheart, what this says to me is that you need to see him. You need to stay in touch because he's in a state. The first card shows he's in a state of kind of closed offness, worried about things. If it were me, I would do some very, very strong prayers and ask to be washed clean of anything you did. When you said you messed up because you had sex and you were supposed to do courtship first, that is true. You, according to what you got going on, you need to be cleansed of that. Then talk to him about it and say, let's see if, you know, I still love you. I still care. Let's see what we can do. But that's what I'm seeing here is that there is some road to go, but there is some hope, but you might not get it all in one jump. You're going to have to start by rebuilding the friendship, and you're going to have to start by washing yourself clean of whatever happened. Let's see what Kai has to say.
Well, I have to agree with absolutely everything you said, Miss Kat. The first, I pulled a few cards and I threw some bones. The way the bones fell, I'm not going to go into all of the bones, but the raccoon penis bone really just blocks everything from moving forward. The way that sexuality presented itself in this relationship according to your religious needs and this person's religious needs really did cut off the situation at the root. This is further elaborated upon in the card they pulled. Things were going well. The Four of Wands card comes up. This is one of my favorite cards when it comes to relationships. It really shows celebration. It really shows a union to me, both on the physical and the spiritual realm. But the very next card is the Ten of Swords. A man lies face down with ten swords in his back, something being completely killed off, a great taboo, really cutting things off spiritually at the root. The last card I have here is the Six of Swords. People in transition, people moving on, sorrowfully, letting go. I would say that, again, if this man is someone that you want to remain in contact with, one that you want to have in your life again, and my cards do say that, it would be very positive if you did do prayer, do work to really cleanse, renew whatever happened, and aim for contact again with this man. That would be very, very positive. But the way things are going right now, they're really in a state of defeat.
Well, let's see what Ollie says. And before we go there, Ollie, I also want to say that Miss Michael kind of jumped up and said something in the chat room was interesting. She was talking about baths for repenting, and she mentioned hyssop, rose, and love herbs. I would leave out the love herbs. I would use hyssop, though. But she said track it into the mosque. In other words, bring your repentance with you into the mosque. Good idea, Miss Michael. Let's see what Ollie has to say.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I'm thinking along the similar lines. Now, do you have a photo of you two together, or can you get a photo of him and put you and him together?
No, he is very funny about that because he would always say to me about he wouldn't eat my food because he was like, my brother said you was going to put something in it and all this stuff. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I called
you. No,
that's a man who knows what he's talking about, actually. What are you talking about? He definitely knows what he's talking about.
Nothing a hole of his at all. No handwriting.
Okay, so you don't have you don't have Facebook. You can't look up his photo or anything like that.
He don't even have his photo on Facebook.
Okay, all right. So you're gonna have to work with his name.
That's that card I said. He's watchful. Yeah. He's afraid that someone's going to try to grab him. Yeah, I see it.
That's the nail on the head right there, Kat. So you're going to have to work with his name. The first thing that I recommend is definitely a bath. Hyssop is a great bath. It's mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned, you know, in Psalm 51, and it's a great cleansing herb. Another one that I particularly like, especially when it comes to purifying, because what we seem to be needing to do is purify this love, so to speak, because there's some heavy guilt here. There's some religious conflict that's going on within this man, and there may be a sense that though he likes you and though he cares about you, the Ace of Wands is beautiful. The Ace of Cups is beautiful, and the Four of Wands, these are great cards. Though he may care for you, that from his religious perspective or from his morals, he may have some conflict being with you. So there needs to be some form of purification here to remind him that love is beautiful, that it can be as pure as that Ace of Cups. And what I would do is actually make a bath using a little bit of milk. I love using some type of milk in some baths, especially when it comes to love. Basil, rue, rose petals, milk, maybe some hyssop, or if you can't do hyssop, violet leaves are also very good. This combination is great, and this is a bath that I prefer soaking. They're not particularly common in Conjure, but they do take place from time to time. You soak in this type of bath. You pour it out into the bathtub, and you kind of just lay there surrounded by white candles and pray from the heart that your love is restored, that your love is purified, that guilt and the guilty feelings and complications are removed, and that once more it flows as freely as the rivers of Eden, okay? And you step out of that.
Do I put my head under it?
I'm sorry, say that again. What was the question?
Do I put my head under the water, under the
you
bed?
You can absolutely dunk your head under the water. Some people don't like getting their hair wet, so they keep their head above it and they just soak their body. If you do, you hold your nose and you just dunk down. It's almost like a form of baptism. It's a very beautiful rite. You don't have to do it that way. You can just soak in it. And then you want to take his name and your name and join them together on a petition paper, okay? And you're going to place that in the center of a surface, and you're going to light two white candles, okay, and one pink candle. So you're going to form a little triangle around the names. The white candles you're going to dress with blessing oil, and the pink candle you're going to dress with reconciliation oil. And you're going to put this in a triangle around the names. And then you're going to connect these candles with a mixture of rose petals, hyssop, and rue. Okay? And you're going to make this connection, this little triangle, so that you're surrounded, both of you are surrounded with the restoration of love, the removal of negativity, the removal of dark thoughts. And you're going to pray over that every day for 7 days, and you're going to snuff it out, and you're going to light it over 7 days until it all burns down, and then you're going to fold up that little piece of paper and keep it under your pillow, okay? So that every time he sleeps, he's thinking of you, he's dreaming of you. And this is going to help to bring some of that positivity back in the emotion. Now, because you don't have contact with him, I would highly recommend carrying some of that bath water to the mosque where he may step into it, carrying powders with you if you have, you can mix some reconciliation powder with dirt and laying it out at the front doorsteps of the mosque so that when he goes in, he steps through it and call his name into it. You want to add an element of connection. You want to add an element of contact because he isn't picking up your calls. Then, while you're doing this work, I do suggest that you tone down on the calling a little bit. Don't drop contact, but I'm telling you this from a guy's perspective. When a woman calls us over and over and over again, we get irritated and we just don't pick up, okay? It becomes almost like pressure, especially considering that this man is looking over his shoulder. You want to ease up on the pressure a little bit, okay? That doesn't mean stop calling him. That means give it a few days. Don't call him 10 times in one day. Give him a few, you know, give him a couple days. Let the candle work, soften his heart up. Wait till you've completed your bath, and then give him a call, a tentative call to see how things are going. And if he picks up, start rebuilding from there, okay?
Okay.
All right. I wish you all the best, honey. I think that you love the man, and I understand that. But you got him after he'd already had a few problems. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta see if you can get your way through this. Don't give up. We're not saying it's going to work for sure. Don't give up. But you know, keep on working. My feeling about it is you'll know if it doesn't work, you'll know within, say, 3 months that it just isn't, there's no movement, there's no change, and then you just have to bless him and walk away. But right now we're still thinking it looks hopeful, okay?
Okay.
All righty. Good luck to
Thank
you, honey.
You.
All righty.
Thank you. Okay, all bye-bye. Right.
Uh-huh, bye-bye. Okay, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and a reminder to everyone that support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conscious practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to get to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from Canada, from area code 403. This is Fame, is Fickle Food. Fame, are you there, caller?
Yes.
Great. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for calling in from all the way from Canada. And it's great to have you here this evening. And I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling into the show. You have had a reading prior with a reader in November of 2012 and a spell performed by a hoodoo worker in September for this matter. But, however, this is not an AIR member, okay? And she writes, "There seems to be some bad luck surrounding my older sister's love life. She's a very desirable person from all standards, but for some reason, men are not interested in her. She's come close to being engaged several times, but something happens and the relationship breaks. Basically, anything she sets out to do falls apart. I'm wondering what's happening and if there's something that could be done magically. Her date of birth is February the 24th. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, so, Ollie, why don't you start on this one and see what
sure.
we get.
Fame, I have a couple questions before I dive right in. How old is your sister?
27.
Okay, so, you know, she's still relatively young, and she's come close to becoming engaged, but has never actually been engaged. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you had a root worker perform work. I'm assuming this is some type of perhaps luck-changing, uncrossing spell. Is that correct?
It was to bring a man in her life, and it hasn't happened.
It was to what?
To bring a man.
To bring a man in her life.
But it wasn't, let's just really be clear. There was no spell done to open her roads or to uncross her love or to break a curse or anything. It was just like bringing somebody, and it didn't work.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you had this done back in November, back in September, so it's been a while. The cards that I've pulled here, now I'm using the Rumi Tarot. Interesting enough, right off the bat, we have the Four of Wands. Four of Wands is the card the Kai pulled in the previous reading, and it shows us that there is great potential here for love between them. In the Rumi Tarot, this is commonly known as the Four of Staves, and it's four staves that are crossed over together, and it's showing abundance and beauty and love. There is potential. You're right. There, your sister is desirable. There is any man would be lucky to have her, and there would be a great, you know, she has the potential to have a very beautiful, loving marriage. Now, the only issue that we have here is that the roads are just a little bit blocked. We have the Four of Coins, okay, which is the next card. The Four of Coins shows us four coins, and in the middle of them, there is this image of a very closed fortress that is a little bit in ruin. And it says, "Flee to me without delay." Okay? I am a fortress invincible. So the roads are a little bit blocked. This is the walls are up, and nothing is flowing in. Okay? And while there is this spiritual work that's trying to draw love, that's trying to bring someone in, the walls can't be conquered. You can't go through those walls. And so what's needed? You did love work to draw someone to you. You know, to someone, to her, great. Now she needs to do road opening work and cleansing work. I do not sense a curse on her. I don't. None of these cards are cursing cards or destruction cards or evil cards. This is just the roads are blocked. Sometimes that happens in life. There are times when we need our luck to change, when things stagnate and slow down. Okay? And there's also a sense here that you guys may be trying too hard, that you're letting the fear of it. I mean, she's 27, going, oh my God, there's no way, you know, she keeps trying to get engaged, doesn't work out. Well, it happens, you know. She is young. You know, letting that fear kind of rule the situation, letting that fear and letting that type of mentality, you know, that type of pressure build up can act in its own way as a form of blocking of the road. So the Four of Pentacles tells us, yes, the roads are blocked. There's still potential there. All you need to do is just kind of clean out the way, clear out the obstacles, and that there will be success. The third card that we have here is the Three of Cups. The Three of Cups shows us three maidens that are dancing out in a beautiful garden, and one is playing a sitar and the other is dancing. And it says, God mingled in the dusty earth a draught of beauty from his choicest cup. So, this tells us that while the road towards marriage, towards love is going to be difficult, that the end result is going to be quite worth it. So it's going to be this process, this journey that she's going through is actually going to lead her to very fulfilling and meaningful love. Just because the journey is difficult doesn't mean that she's doomed. It just means that whatever reward is coming her way through this marriage is going to be that much more deserving, that much more cherished. That I do see her getting engaged. I do see her in a very beautiful relationship. She just has to open the roads a little bit, okay?
All right, well, are you still with us?
Yes.
Mm-mm. Oh, there you go. Okay. I'm going to do just a real quick reading on this, too, but I'm going to just, I'm going to read, I think what I'm going to call is what I see as what's called intuitive reading. In other words, I'm not going to throw cards. I'm just going to ask you a question. People in the chat room are saying, hey, 27 is nothing. My feeling is that you're from a culture in which 27 is something. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Do you mind telling me what your ethnic background is?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Do you mind telling me what your ethnic background is?
Middle Eastern.
Middle Eastern, yeah. I got that one. I'll tell you, because I hear this so often, and I feel for you. In every culture, there is a different standard. And I know I get many, many people come to me, the young woman, 26, 27, 28, 29. Those are the crucial years, people of Middle Eastern background. If she's not married, she will never be married, and it's a terrifying prospect for the family. Often there is issues of financial issues. There's often issues of arranged marriages, which I don't know if it's going to be happening up there in Canada, but there are problems, and the engagement breaking. What you're describing is something that is very hard to bear, and I hear it. I feel it. I'm going to say that, and you're going to just hear this from my heart. I'm just going to say it. She is going to find love, but it may come from an unexpected source. And I know she wants to do right and be within the culture that says you must be married by this time or you're no good or whatever, and it's too late, too late. And I know she wants to do right, but she may need to cast a wider net. She may need to cast a wider net and open her heart literally to God and just say, please bring me my husband. Her roads are closed, but it's partly because she may not be looking at all of the men. And I don't necessarily mean to go outside of her culture, but I mean, or to go outside of her ethnicity. But she needs to open a wider window and look out and see what's really out there and step out that wider door, because staying in a fortress is not going to help. There is somebody there, but it may not be who she thought it was. That is my intuitive reading on this, and I say this with all sincerity from my heart. Love is there, but it's going to be a little different than what the pattern that this culture that you belong to has predicted. Okay? If you ever read a book, and again, you're in Canada, and now you're from the Middle East, but have you ever read a book called Little Women by Louisa May Alcott? If you have not read this book, I want you to take an evening or afternoon and read this book. It's just about some young American women in the 19th century during the Civil War. But what it's about is there's one of the little sisters. Her name is Jo, and that's what's going on with your sister. She will find someone, but it's going to be off the beaten track. That's my belief. Okay? Little Women by Louisa May Alcott. All right. And she is worth waiting for. She is special. All right. Kai, what do you think?
I would say that I have to agree with you both. Conjurman Ali saying that he doesn't see the roads being, he doesn't see there being any negative juju. There's no spirits on. None of that's happening. It is just a road opening. And speaking, very much to what you just said, Kat, about this person might coming from an unexpected source. That's why the roads need to be open. That's why we need to broaden our search a bit and ask for our herbal allies to come in and accompany us in that intention. So my spirits, they suggest a mojo hand. They suggest a very simple mojo hand, but very effective. And I would want you to take, if you were to do this on behalf of your sister, I'd want you to make a petition paper for her. You could cross her name with love or marriage or the perfect partner, surround it with hearts and fold that up. You could use a good love drawing oil. Have your pick, but definitely one that is specifically about stabilizing union. The three herbs that I would put into this mojo, and the three botanicals, are five-fingergrass. Five-fingergrass to me is a wonderful road opener, almost like two hands pushing apart barriers, as well as, of course, five-fingergrass grasping at what is desired, a wonderful attraction herb. I would include rose for love, speaking to these herbs, asking that their perspectives and their medicine be potent toward that which is desired, not just throwing a bunch of things in a bag, of course. And the last botanical would be cardamom, inviting a new lover, inviting something different and unique and someone who hasn't been met yet. If your sister wanted to, if you wanted to include her in this magic, you could ask her to chew it a little bit before you put it in the mojo hand and breathe a breath of life into that. Tie it up and anoint that with a good strong love oil once a week. Have her keep it by her side for a little while. And that person will come. I really do see that person arriving in a really beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say one of the things.
What is your recommendation for some road opening work, you said?
Well, this is kind of a bit of a road opening love drawing mojo hand. Both cardamom is about inviting a new lover, and five finger grass is, for me, at least in my practice, is a bit of a road opening herb. So I would actually say that all these things were included in the same mojo.
Another thing I'm going to just say briefly here is that in some families, I don't know about yours, but I come from an Ashkenazi Jewish family, and in my family, the sisters are supposed to be married in birth order. And if they, you know, they'll hold back your marriage until your older sister gets married. This happened in my family as recently as in the 20th century. And these were German Jews. But it's a Middle Eastern belief, a custom. And so that's why we often get, why I often get a young sister asking about older sister's marriage prospects. I don't know if that's happening in your situation, but if it is, I'm going to tell you, no disrespect to your sister, just pray to help her, because she will find love, and you will too. Okay? All right.
Just as a quick, you know, Kai really was right on there. Love is really close by. I think after the road opening, you will, you know, your sister will find love relatively soon. And yes, it will more than likely come from an unexpected, you know, source. But one of the things that you need to understand, and this came up in my reading, is that while there is pressure here that I mentioned, you've got to be able to let go of that. When you do worry over something like this, it tends to drag it out. When you tend to let the pressure build, even if there is familial pressure, right, that she needs to get married, she needs to get married, the best thing to do is for both of you to kind of let go and relax. When you're able to do that, when you're able to remove that pressure, it actually removes a big part of the block that you're facing, because worrying does cause, you know, a bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take it slow and easy.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just it's going to happen. But like I said, widen the scope and open the roads. Just, you know, and it just ask, you know, keep on praying. There's no block. There's no curse at this time that we can see. It's just that things haven't yet fallen out the way they need to. May I ask how old you are?
25.
25, I knew it. Sweetheart, you'll get there too. But that's the thing. I know you're loyal to your sister. I understand it. I hear it. I see this so often. God bless you for calling us to help her out. And if you need anybody personal, private to help you, see one of the root workers from AIR. There are many people who are sympathetic to and understand these particular issues of marriage, and I guess I'm one of them, but there are some others, and any one of the people here that you just talked to, we all understand this, and we can, you know, work out some kind of regular system of prayer or practice for you, okay?
Thank you so much.
All righty. Good luck to you, honey. All right. All right, Miss Tammy Lee, let's get our next caller.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Shirley, and just a reminder to everyone that we have about 23 minutes left in today's show, and that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time each and every Sunday. And our next caller, Miss Kat, and congenitally in Kyrmond, is calling in from El Paso, Texas, 915. This is AI Regret. Are you there, caller?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Welcome, sir, to the show. And I'm going to go ahead and let the host know that you did call in to the show, but it's been about a year, and that you actually have had a reading this past Thursday. And he writes, "My boyfriend left me this past Sunday after being together for more than a year. He suddenly changed, and he's not acting like himself at all. I went to a reader root worker that told me that his best friend had gone with someone to do work, in quotes, on him to leave me. On Thursday, the practitioner gave me a package he had made for me. It was a binding spell package. I completed the ritual Thursday night. The next day, my ex-boyfriend was furious at me for no reason and hasn't spoken to me, and the practitioner had mentioned that this would be his reaction and for me to give him a couple of days and that I should see changes in him. I just need to know if there's anything else that someone is doing. Turning it back over to you.
Wow. All right. I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions. What sign are you?
I'm a Gemini.
You're a Gemini. And what sign is the boyfriend?
Also a Gemini.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I just ask something real quick? Is this a practitioner that we know? Like, is this a colleague from AIR?
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, then we can't speak to it too much, but we'll do the best we can. All right. So we're going to turn this over to Kai and to do the first reading.
All right, so right now I pulled a few cards, but I'm currently waiting for my, just asking my pendulum whether or not anyone has done work on your boyfriend prior to the experience happening. My pendulum says no, that work was not done. I'm asking one other question that's a little bit in between work and simply having a strong consciousness, strong subconscious or unconscious effect. My spirits are saying no to that as well. I'm not seeing that work was done, nor am I seeing that work was, or that someone's, you know, intense subconscious energies were drawing this person away. So I'm going to ask a quick question that might seem a bit strange. First of all, how long were you dating this person again?
It was going to be a year and 4 months.
Sorry, a year and what?
4 months.
A year and 4 months. I'm going to ask, how would you say that this person, as far as you know, orients themselves sexually or gender-wise?
You know what? Sexually, he always had an issue when it came to, I guess, to us having sex.
Mm-hmm.
He always had an issue with us. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be comfortable with himself. And I mean, I don't know why it would bug him, but I would always tell him that it wouldn't bug me and that I was fine with it, but it was a big deal for him.
For it was a big deal for him to interact with you sexually?
Yes.
Okay. And has this person ever expressed any bisexual tendencies or desire for women? Or was this person, as far as you know, strictly, quote-unquote, homosexual?
No, when he was younger, I guess, like, during high school, he actually had, like, two girlfriends.
Okay. Okay, I ask because the first card I get here is the Queen of Pentacles, and this is a woman. This is a woman either entering the situation or a strong female figure, or even I'm actually not even getting that there's a woman in his life. I'm getting that the issue is more in himself, but that's where I had to start because I wasn't getting that anyone was doing work on him, and I also wasn't getting necessarily that the binding work that you did was really appropriate to the situation. I feel that you've already been seeing this in your relationship, and it's just come to a head at this point. This person is struggling with internalized homophobia. That's why that they have been having such an issue interacting with you sexually. Even though they, you know, they do care about you, but this card immediately tells me there is something wrong here on a foundational level. And Queen of Pentacles is a very sort of foundational card for me. Really, you know,
and a very female card.
And a very, very female card.
Very. Kai, I just gotta raise my hand and testify. Kai, that was brilliant. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Go on, keep going. Appreciate it.
The next card I have here is the Knight of Pentacles. A man is riding a black horse holding a coin. And for me, this is very much you. This is you approaching him and saying, hey, I want to have this interaction with you. I want to really engage with you on this sort of foundational matter. Let's merge our bodies. Let's have this great Pentacles, again, the body. Let's merge our bodies and have a wonderful sexual romantic experience. However, the last card I have here is the Hermit. A man walking alone, he is still seeking. He is not yet where you are in your comfort with your sexuality. He is still seeking, and the Hermit, my spirits are just saying, he's very, very lost right now. He's very lost, and the effort that you put toward him in the mundane realm right now is going to scare him because he's in that particular place of lost. Of lostness. My suggestion, just what I'm getting right now, is to, even though I know that you are, I'm sure, extremely hurt, this is a long-term relationship that you have been involved in, my suggestion is to put that experience of romance and sexual desire on the back burner for a moment and reach for that place where you both are friends. Reach for that place where you both are friends, have been friends and comrades for a for more than a year. And if you're going to interact with him from that place where, hey, buddy, I know that things are hard right now. I know you have some questions. Coming from the place right now where you yourself, I'm sure, are feeling hurt and lost, hence you going for these really strong avenues, is going to push him away further. And I believe that that actually was more of the result of the work that was done.
Oh, okay, then.
Yeah, this is, boy, Kai, that was fantastic reading. And you got into it right away. You saw that whole thing laid out. That was brilliant. Ollie, what do you have to say here?
You know, I think Kai really hit the nail on the head. I can't speak to the work that your spellcaster, root worker, whoever this person was, did. But I can tell you that if there was a curse, binding work is not the way to go. Okay.
Yeah.
The issue that we have here, now I've cast a geomancy reading here, and what's revealed is very much along the lines of what Kai has said. The very first figure that we have here is Rubius, and Rubius is a cup upside down. It shows us a great internal conflict, a revolution from the inside, you know, when it comes to his sexuality. He's unsure of what he wants, where he wants it from, and so causes a sort of resistance. It causes a sort of rebellion against what you're offering him. Okay? So when you do binding work, that's even worse, because you're binding him to something that's making him confused. You're binding him to something that makes him angry and upset. And so Rubius is a figure of anger. It is a figure of frustration. And in order to counter that, the counter to Rubius is Albius. Albius is wisdom. It means wine. And that's the cup right set up. You need to be doing clarity work, not coercive love work, not trying to force. You need to help this man realize what it is he wants. The next figure that we have, unfortunately, is Karsar. And Karsar is in the fifth house, which tells us ultimately that he feels trapped with his sexuality, because the fifth house is the house of sex in geomancy. He is trapped when it comes to his sexuality. He feels like he doesn't know what he wants. He's confused. There's restriction here. And again, that binding work, it talks right to that, is not the right way to go. The best way to go for this is clarity work. Unfortunately, Karsar also shows up as the judge in this particular geomancy spread, which tells me that your chances of returning him as a lover are very slim. This tells us not likely that you can expect him to return to you as a lover. You need to give him some space. You need to give him some time and be the friend that he needs rather than the lover you're trying to force onto him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So geomancy says, take a step back.
Yeah. I'm going to attempt some root work here, but I'm going to tell you, your chance is slim. Those cards and that geomancy reading go right along together, and your chance is slim. And, you know, we can't always say, hey, do this root work is going to work, because we're not feeling it, all right? Mm-hmm. So the binding really was like, you know, not right. I mean, I know your root worker didn't know it, whatever. But binding a person in this situation is not good. Maybe extending friendship. That binding spell, do you have it with you? Is it still around?
Yes. Well, I do have it with me, though, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would let it go. I would scatter it in a crossroads, take it to a river and wash it out into the river and just let it go, burn it maybe. I would not do that work. I think that's part of the problem, and that's already been indicated. Release it, let it go, and start from a fresher perspective. He had trouble with you sexually, and we don't know why. Is he bisexual but just really likes you a lot, but now he's got a girlfriend? Kind of is what the cards are showing. Is he, you know, is he want to be in the closet and keep you on the side? That could be a case too. But whatever's going on here, you need some clarity and he needs some courage.
Yeah.
And if he is going to speak, if he is going to be come back, it's going to be because he's found his courage. And he, when people are young, like you described him as young, they are confused. So my advice to you is to do some clarity work, get a white skull candle, dress it with clarity oil, speak to it, speak to him, baptize it as his name, speak to it, speak to him, and then, you know, for at least 7 days at night while you think he's sleeping, and say, now, just, you know, come into your right mind. You might mix some crucible of courage with it, and you might also put in some lavender love or one of the gay type oils, but it doesn't really matter. It could be any kind of love oil. But really what's most important right now is here to get him back in his right mind.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I really am sorry. I don't see that you have a lot of hope, but I'd give it a try. I would definitely give it a try. But right now,
I would love to include in here, I really suggest self-love for yourself as well. I know that this is probably very trying for you. I would suggest cut and clear and love drawing work for you as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't want to tip my hand here. Set yourself a time limit, and when and if this does not work, and be prepared to do a cut and clear and bring in somebody who is fully committed to sex with you as number one. I mean, you know, because there are many people who love and don't get the sex they want for one reason or another, and you need them both. If you are a person who is sexually active, you can't just say, I'll take the love, and even if he regrets the sex. No, you want them both. You deserve better yourself. So, you know, he needs some help, and it may not be possible to get him back. All right, hon. I wish you all the luck, and thanks for calling. Okay?
Thank you so much. Uh-huh.
Okay. All righty. Well, it's time for our free spell, and this is the portion of the show in which our guest gives us a free spell, but first we're going to turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she'll tell us what's coming up.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and every Sunday, y'all, at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, who will take calls and give short readings and prescribe and describe authentic conjure spells and provide listeners with the tools to achieve life's goals and overcome its challenges on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And now we're going to go ahead and turn it back over to our wonderful guest, Tyra Mond, who is joining us this week from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers for our free spell this week. Kai?
Well, I just want to, you know, thank everyone as well, again as well, for having me. So much of my work lately has been of the love uncrossing and sexual unjinxing kind. And just last night, as I was pondering, well, what am I going to share with everyone today, I dreamt it, a literal dream, in which I was told very specifically what to share. And I woke up and I pulled some cards and was like, well, there you have it. So I think this is really beautiful across the board, not just if you are in a relationship or getting over a relationship, but this really falls into sort of the what Dr. E would call love uncrossing work. It incorporates a bit of cut and clear, but more so it's about unraveling patterns, really renewing one's ability to find love and let go of the past. So the way this shows up is this. We're going to call on three herbal allies here. We're going to be calling on lavender, we're going to be calling on lemon, and we're going to be calling on rose. And the way this happens is I would suggest that you make a very small pouch of lavender. And you're going to make this pouch, not really a mojo hand, but just something that it contains the buds. And you're going to keep this near your heart, whether you pin this to your undershirt or you keep it in your brassiere. You're going to keep this very close to your heart. You're going to ask lavender to really unravel negative patterns in love, unravel past issues and concerns, past issues of shame or guilt, anything that has been blocking you from getting the love that you really deserve. Ask lavender to help with that. And keep this close to your heart for about 9 days. As you keep it there, I also want you to take either lemon leaves or a dried out lemon rind, and I want you to place this in your left shoe. We're working with the left here. You have this lavender, near your heart, and you have lemon in your left shoe. And you would keep these in your shoe for 9 days, asking lemon to also clear the path, to really help you to let go of what you've been carrying with you. This is a walking spell. As you walk on this lemon rind and as you keep this lavender near your heart, I want you to visualize, as you can, walking away from the past, walking away from whatever guilt, harm, shame, negative patterns you've either been tracking into your life or that have been just sort of, you know, being, you've been carrying as a knapsack without realizing it. At the end of 9 days, you can take these and release them into a river. And on that 9th day, you're going to put some rose petals in your shoe. It's a very simple spell, but very, very powerful toward letting go of the past in a very sort of general way, getting rid of any excess, you know, karma, juju, or subconscious things that have been going on, really letting those go. And as you put in rose petals in your right shoe, proclaim, I am walking toward love. I am walking toward the best love that is there for me. And whether that shows up as a relationship, as the love of your life, or whether that shows up as people who have been in your community who have not been, you know, you haven't been reaching out to, but really they're showing up now to support you and tend to you for some wonderful Three of Cups kinds of times. Be open to that. Be open to the love that is really there waiting for you to fulfill whatever need that you have. And you keep that in your shoe for 9 days. When you finish with that, you can either bury that in your backyard if you have a home, or you can bury those into a potted plant that you're going to be tending to and taking care of, the way that you're going to be nurturing love in your own life and paying particular attention to your own self-care. Simple, but a very beautiful, I think, sort of 18-day love uncrossing spell that my spirit gave directly to me. So there you have
that's
it.
That's beautiful.
That's a beautiful. One more question. So after that, what do you do with the lavender pouch?
Oh, I would also take those into the river. I would take the lavender pouch and the lemon, and I personally would place both of those in the river.
Okay. After, and now the lavender pouch you carry just for 9 days or for 18 days?
9 days.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
Okay.
I love how physical it is. You know, lavender over your heart, lemon in your left, rose in your right. To step by step, you're being guided to love, and it's tied directly to the butt. Very visceral. I love this way of working. It's a very beautiful, Guy.
Yeah. I really like the spell because it's simple, it's direct, and here's something else I like about it, Kai. It's not a candle spell. And
yes.
I'm just going to say, because if you all come to the forum, the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com, you'll see everybody, what candle can I burn for this? What candle can I burn for this? As if all the work we did was candle spells. I have nothing against candle spells. I do candle spells all day, every day, all night. But I'm telling you, there are some beautiful things, beautiful works that are done with simple roots and herbs and that are, like you said, a walking spell, a wearing it spell. No candle. Beautiful spell. Thank you so much, Kai. All right, Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurement Ali. And thank you, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Berkeley, California, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Rooters and Rootworkers will be Lou Flores in Berkeley, California. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurement Ali at conjurementali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Kimmy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody, and goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you so much, Kai, for being on the show and for some spectacular topics tonight, the initiation issue and this beautiful love spell. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and we look forward to having you back on the radio show and to seeing you in May. And Conjurement Ali, do you have any last-minute words?
only that people should absolutely go and sign up for the Missionary Independent Workshops. It's going to be a blast this year. And let's hear a quick update about your book.
The book. I am in the final stages of proofreading. That book is going to the printer by the end of January, or I'm going to be eating bread and water for the rest of the year.
Oh, wonderful. Look forward for the book, guys.
Okay, the book is The Art of Voodoo Candle Magic by Catherine Ironwood and Mikhail Srebo. Thank you so much. But in the meantime, sign up for those workshops, and we're going to stick around in the chat room a little bit after, like we usually do. I'm usually there for about 15 minutes. If you have any questions,
mm-hmm.
or Ali or Nagashiva or anybody else, just stick around. And thanks all for being with us. And see you all next week.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Good night.